Senate will come to order. This is Majority Floor Leader. Messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, January the 18th, 2011, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 57, Feral Livestock, ayes 59, excused 1. And House Bill 60, Taxation of Oil and Gas Field Services, ayes 59, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. From the House of Representatives, January the 18th, 2011. Third reading passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill 19, Assignment of Retired Circuit Court Judges. Ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill 40, Compensation for Persons Exonerated Based on DNA. Ayes 51, noes 8, excused 1. House Bill 13, Hathaway Success Curriculum 2. Ayes 52, noes 7, excused 1. House Bill number 28, Child Protection Shelter Care Initial Hearings. Ayes 50, noes 9, excused 1. And House Joint Resolution 1, District Court Commissioners Authority. Ayes 44, noes 15, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Introduction, reading, and reference of bills. Senate File 110, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 110, School Facilities Commission Reorganization and Act Relating to School Capital Construction, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
Senate File 10 has been referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 114, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 114, Teachers' Evaluations and Act Relating to School Districts, sponsored by Senator Peterson.
Senate File 114 has been assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports from standing committees.
January the 18th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 27, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel, Senator Burns, Chairman. January the 18th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 41, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Driscoll, Escobel. No, Senator Dockstader, Senator Burns, Chairman. January the 18th, 2011, Mr. President, Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 31, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel, Senator Burns, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business for the consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been asked to announce again that the Don Bruns photography will be in the basement conference room until 5:30 or 6 today, and will be there again tomorrow from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. to have your official legislative portrait. I had announced previously that it would be also there on the 20th. I'm not sure about that at this point in time. From this memo from our LSO, it sounds like it's today and tomorrow. They've had pretty light turnout, so I'd urge you to get that done for your official portrait. As I stated before, it's in the southeast corner of the basement down by where management audit staff is located. With that, Mr. President, I would move that the Senate resolve itself back into Committee of the Whole.
Before I call for that vote on that motion, Senator Bebout.
President, Mr. President, I would like to have you re-refer Senate File 73, the solid waste bill, to the Appropriations Committee number 2. It contains some appropriations information in there, and I'd like to have them look at it.
Okay. The re-referral of Senate File 73 would go to Committee number 2, Appropriations. Seeing no objection, so ordered. Motion is that we resolve ourselves back into the Committee of the Whole. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Senator Dockstader, would you come back to the desk, please?
Committee of the Whole will come to order. For the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 24, State Investments, and there is an amendment. Greeting clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 24, State Investments, an act relating to state investment, sponsored by Senator Martin. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have to do with the recommendation that Senate File 24, State Investments, do pass. There is a standing committee amendment, and would the reading clerk would please read that amendment?
Senate File 24, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 3.
Mr. Chairman, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 24 and yield to the sponsor of the bill, Senator from Sweetwater County, to discuss it. And because the amendment deals with the bill, I would like to discuss the amendment after he's discussed the bill.
Thank you. Okay, at this time then, all those in favor of Senator Martin, I didn't see you over there. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 24, State Investments, is a financial tool available through the Wyoming State Treasurer's Office and is used as a financing incentive to help promote expansion or build large capital improvement projects for Wyoming companies. Increasing the State Treasurer's Bonding Authority is a strong recruitment tool for economic development across the state. Mr. Chairman, the bill reauthorizes the Industrial Development Bond Program and extends the sunset date from June 30, 2011 to June 30, 2016, and allows the State Treasurer to increase the investment amount from $100 million to $600 million of state permanent funds through the purchase of industrial development bonds issued by either joint powers boards, municipalities, or counties. Recent discussions with a variety of companies indicate that they may approach the state to use the program for large industrial projects. The sizes of the potential projects range from $23 million for one project, two facilities requiring $80 million each, and a project of $600 million. In the past, just recently, the National Center for Atmospheric Research, NCAR, explored utilizing the program before they found that they had to direct fund the supercomputer facility in Laramie County. Previously, two bonds have been purchased, with the last one being in 2003, and both are paid in full. The Wyoming Business Council has been approached by numerous other companies whose projects don't meet the requirements of the statute or they were able to obtain other financing. Many projects in Wyoming require less than $4 million in debt financing and can be accommodated by local commercial lenders or a consortium of lenders. Most Wyoming financial institutions aren't large enough to offer financing over $4 million, and the borrower seeks private activity bond financing. The process is that the Wyoming Business Council reviews the projects and makes recommendations to the Governor's Office and Attorney General, and a minimum of 25% of the project cost is provided by the owner. Interest rates may be fixed or variable as negotiated with the state treasurer and based upon underlying credit risks, and it is secured by mortgage or security agreements on other collateral. The state treasurer determines the rate as compared to other investments that could be made, and the facility owner may benefit from a direct sale to the treasurer, reduce the amount of underwriting costs incurred to sell the bonds. Mr. Chairman, that's the explanation of the bill. I'd be glad to walk the body through the bill quickly.
Please, Senator Martin.
Mr. Chairman, you'll find the first change on page 1, line 15 through line 16, and this is Wyoming Statute 9-4715, subsection M, permissible investments. This change increases the amount of funds that the Treasurer's Office can invest from $100 million to $600 million. The next change will be found on page 2, line 18. This change moves the sunset date from June 30th, 2011 to June 30th, 2016. And the last change is found on page 2, lines 23 and 24. And this change moves the level of investments from $500 million to $1 billion. So now Wyoming Statute 9-4-715, subsection N, reads, the state treasurer shall not invest funds for a specific public purpose authorized or directed by the legislature in excess of a total of $1 billion, excluding investments made pursuant to Wyoming Statute 375406. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill, and that's the explanation of the changes. I would be glad to answer questions, or we could take up the amendment if you'd like.
Questions? Seeing no, Senator Burns.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I was just curious how the figure of $600 million was arrived at. That's quite a jump from $100 million.
Senator Martin.
Mr. Chairman, the $600 million project that I had indicated, it possibly would be a couple years before they would be ready to work through the process. But that $600 million did not include the 25% that they would be paying on that. The investment itself, the $600 million, is all that is invested. If they have one company that comes in and qualifies for the $600 million, there's no other investments that take place until that $600 million is paid back or partially paid back. So you could potentially have one company come in and qualify for the total amount. $100 million just really didn't cover what some of these companies are looking for.
Thank you, Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding of these industrial revenue bonds goes back a number of years, but if I recall, the advantage of them is that the return is quite a bit lower. The amount of interest that those who are paying the bonds have to pay is quite a bit lower than if they just went to a bank or some investment firm. And so that's the advantage to it. The disadvantage is to the state's permanent mineral trust funds, which collect less interest on that. So, and I was just kind of curious, do we have any idea, what is the interest rate return on industrial bonds? If the sponsor has any idea, and what is the state currently getting back on that money? In other words, how much less money is the state going to earn by moving an additional $500 million to industrial revenue bonds than they're currently getting from current investments?
Senator Martin.
Mr. Chairman, I actually do not know that answer, but I do know that the interest rate is either fixed or variable, and that's negotiated by the Treasurer's office with the business that they're working with. But I certainly, next reading, could find that information out.
Senator Bebop.
Now, Mr. Chairman, just to help answer that question, and that was asked in the committee of the State Treasurer's office because the concern was, A, the loss of revenues because of the different interest rate, but also the availability of money. If you properly manage your money, you have a combination of longer-term investments, short-term investments, and you certainly wouldn't want to have a longer-term investment that all of a sudden the need was there and you had penalty charges or whatever from getting out of that long-term investment to do the shorter term and get back into the bonds for the industrial revenue bonds. And the State Treasurer's office presented the testimony to us that she did not see a problem in the issue of being able to have the cash flow requirements that this number would bring to the table if, in fact, these industrial revenue bonds were voted in by a joint powers board and were made available. As far as the interest loss there, again, we could get a better answer. We didn't have an answer because we're not sure what the IRBs would be and what the rate of return on the short-term investments that the state receives are. I think it's fairly close, but we could sure get a better answer for you.
Senator Perkins.
I serve on the Select Committee on Capital Finance and Investments, and so we review a number of these investments with the State Treasurer's Office once or twice, sometimes three times a year. And keep in mind two things. One is that right now the policy is typically to get a market rate of interest even on the industrial revenue bond. So the Treasurer's policy is to obtain a market rate of interest on those bonds. So they may be higher, they may be lower. The other thing that happens is one, that right now the hundred million that's now currently appropriated, my understanding is there are zero of those dollars that are out and actually issued in industrial revenue bonds at this point in time. So those funds are set aside and they're designated to be available for that, but if there's no issue to take advantage of, they don't get issued. And so those are earning whatever market rates of interest are there. And the third point would be is that sometimes you may want to actually do a sub-market rate if there are other, ultimately, I believe the State Loan Investment Board would have the authority to offer those at a below market rate if they desired, if they thought that there were other benefits that would more than offset the loss of revenue to the permanent mineral trust fund, which ultimately flows out through the spending policy into the PMTF reserve account, which when it gets to be 75% of that, exceeds that, it flows back in anyway. We've seen that diagram a number of times, but ultimately, when you look at jobs and payroll and sales taxes and the other benefits that have come, it is possible under this that the State Loan Investment Board could come and issue those at a below market rate of interest, although that's not the Treasurer's policy at this point in time.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, question for the sponsor or maybe for the committee that looked at it. Did you retain a copy of the evaluation these bonds would have on the investment portfolio? And the reason I ask, you're required to do so, to do an evaluation under Wyoming Statute 94716E before we go into this. And I just was curious if we could get a copy of that evaluation and see how this fits with the overall investment strategy, of which it's got to conform to the state's investment strategy in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund.
Senator Martin.
Mr. Chairman, the good senator, you're asking to see that or I couldn't hear all that you were saying.
Senator Schiffer?
I'll talk louder. Part of the statute requires that there be a, and it's 94716E, requires that there be an evaluation of how this fits in with the investment portfolio and how it fits with the overall investment strategy of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. Quite frankly, I think we need to look at that. There's a reason there's none of these out there. A number of years ago, I believe you will find that there was a very conscious decision made that these did not fit with the investment strategy. Now, maybe that's changed. We've had a, actually, I noticed even there was a, here in 2009, the market dipped and did some really wild things. So maybe the strategy's changed. But if so, we need to look at that and evaluate it as required by statute.
Senator Martin.
Mr. Chairman, good senator brings up a good point. But we did have a meeting with the Treasurer's Office and the potential $600 or $700 million that they would like to possibly utilize the bond program for a very large expansion plant and mine expansion. And at that point in time, the Treasurer's Office said they would have no problem in dealing with that, except the only problem was that the level that they were allowed to invest, but they anticipated that if this passed through, that they had no problem with doing those investments. But I can certainly get more information for you.
Further discussion? Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Maybe the good sponsor could show me where in the Constitution of the state of Wyoming this program would be authorized or how that could happen. I'd like to explore that a little bit.
Senator Martin.
I can certainly look up that information for the good chairman.
Senator Case.
And Mr. Chairman, just to help him out a little bit, I would be very interested in how we propose to not follow Article 16, Section 6 of the Wyoming Constitution, which provides that neither the state nor any county, city, township, town, school district, or any other political subdivision shall loan or give its credit or make donations to or in aid of any individual association or corporation. It goes on a little bit and talks about necessary support of the poor. And there is one exception to that in our Constitution, where we passed a law called Amendment 4. It's actually a constitutional amendment. And Amendment 4 actually is Article 16, Section 12. And in the Amendment 4 amendment, it actually talks about you can do this one notwithstanding Article 16, Section 6. But I don't see that this is an Amendment 4 project or qualifies under the Amendment 4 exception to the Constitution. So if it's not Amendment 4, I don't see how it can be constitutional.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, if you look at Article 15, Section 19, which is the provision that establishes the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund, see, it says the monies in the fund shall be invested as prescribed by the legislature, and all income fund investments shall be deposited to the state treasurer of the general fund on an annual basis. So we have a responsibility for setting forth the investments. Now, those, I would think, would be subject to some requirements such as the prudent man rule, that you couldn't invest them in a highly speculative thing. But we have used this over the years. The state made quite a bit of money on investing in farm loans, for example, and I think this was the provision that enabled us to do that. I would question it if you're talking about significant reductions in the income from it, that then maybe it ought to be under the Amendment 4 process. But we generally specify the kinds of things that the permanent funds can be invested in, and that's the constitutional provision we're relying on.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I absolutely agree with my good friend from Natrona County, and I think that's the crux of the point. I think the legislature can indeed describe the investments in the permanent fund as if they are permanent monies and they are not achieving a subsidized rate. In other words, we're not extending our credit. But when it becomes subsidized, we extend our credit, and I think that has to come under Amendment 4.
Further discussion? We have an amendment. A motion on the amendment, then. All those in favor of Senator Rebout's motion? Thank you.
The purpose of the amendment, if you recall, my colleague from Sweetwater County explaining the bill was the fact that there was a sunset provision in that, and the committee, the amendment, if you look at it, pages, the guts of it is to deal with that on page, am I right, Bill, here? On page 2, lines 17 and 18, it deletes the sunset provision. The sunset provision had been extended from June 30th of 2011 to 2016. The committee has, the purpose of the standing committee amendment is to delete totally the sunset provision.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, again, I need some guidance on this. Also in the Constitution, I think it's Article 20, I think. I got to look here. Says that you cannot amend a bill so as to change the purpose of the bill. And the purpose is defined in this case, and I'll read it, an act relating to state investments, increasing amount allowed to be invested in industrial development bonds, extending the sunset. I think that's the purpose of the bill. If you delete the sunset, that changes the purpose of the bill. I would suggest this amendment is out of order.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would respectfully disagree with that. It seems to me that they're sure extending the sunset permanently. having a longer period before this sunset is clearly within the scope of the bill. And I think it's not an unreasonable stretch to say, okay, we're just going to get rid of this silly thing. If there was nothing in the bill about the sunset, then I think there might be an argument. But I think we would be wise not to interpret this provision too narrowly and allow us to deal sensibly with these things. We've got a problem with excessive numbers of sunset dates, and getting rid of one, you can argue whether it's a good idea or not. But, Mr. Chairman, I would submit that the amendment is entirely in order and consistent with the title of the bill.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, and I always follow the lead from my colleague from Natrona County. But not, I don't follow very close is the problem. I rise in opposition to this amendment then. Reason being, this is the permanent mineral trust fund that you're investing. And it behooves this body every couple years to look at how they're investing that money. That is the state's treasury. That is what we hope at some point, when the oil's gone and the gas is gone and the uranium's gone, the trona's gone, and the rare earth is gone, and all the rest of that stuff. The theory is it's going to end up in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund in the form of cash. And that's what we're counting on to finance the level of government we've grown accustomed to, is that investment, the revenue stream from that fund. It is part of our obligation to the future members of this Senate and the citizens of this state. Every, whatever it is, you know, 5 years, I don't care if you extend it, I think they're extending it out 5 years. It's okay. But in 5 years, we should look at this specific program and say, is it wisely invested? Is it invested for the long-term benefit of the citizens of this state? Because while we today reap the benefits of mineral extraction, as we should, the 1% in the Constitution that flows into this fund, we need to make sure every so often that it's invested wisely and that it's going to be there for the next generation and the generation after that. Can we lose it? You bet. Title IV, the Amendment 4 program showed us how much of the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund you can lose doing these kind of things. Millions. So it behooves this body. Put a sunset on it just to look at it. Make sure it's safe, not for us. Not for some company that's going to be long gone, but to make sure that fund is protected for those who will follow us. I urge you to resist this amendment.
Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I can't take any argument or any exception to the good senator from Johnson County that we do need to look at this. And if I recall, when I was on the Select Finance Committee, we had the treasurer there every year that we met, and the treasurer would go over all of his investments. And the Select Finance Committee would look at those and have a very good understanding about what the state investments are. From time to time, I know Appropriations has the treasurer up there, and we'll ask him some good questions, some good hard questions about what's going on and what we can expect as far as the funds coming off of those. And I think we do need to look at our state investments for the future. I think that's why here several years ago we made the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund inviolate. But I guess what we really have as a question is whether or not this is a good idea on this bill. And that's what we're really debating. I don't think we want to lose track of where that rabbit is going and go down the wrong rabbit hole. Make up your mind on this bill, whether it's a good bill or a good idea or a bad idea. But I know that the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund is protected, and it's protected by every one of us here sitting on the floor, because every year we can go down to the state treasurer and ask him just exactly what's going on with those investments.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I rise to add one item to the list that my distinguished colleague from Johnson County gave you, and that is this Permanent Mineral Trust Fund is our insurance policy against ever needing a state income tax. And we ought to be especially vigilant in protecting it, and I would urge the Senate on this one to follow the lead that my distinguished colleague is providing us.
Senator Burns?
Mr. Chairman, I brought a bill earlier that went before the Revenue Committee, and it basically raised the cap on a particular fee that the state had a cap on. And that's what the bill did. And the committee, it was the Senate Revenue Committee, in genuine wisdom, voted to amend the bill to remove the cap based on the information we had recently gotten from that. And I agreed with that, and had I known that information, that would have been the bill. I took the bill down to LSO, and they informed me that changing it from raising to removing was indeed made the bill unconstitutional. So based on that, with all due respect to my fellow senator from Natrona County, I would ask for a ruling from the chair on the constitutionality of the amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, barring that, I would ask for a meeting of the Rules Committee on it.
I'll go with your second suggestion, a meeting of the Rules Committee. Senator Case?
Mr. Chairman, one way you could handle that is to go ahead and have the vote, and if it doesn't pass, we don't have to worry about having a meeting. That would just be a little bit easier. But there's a section in that point. Mr. Chairman, on the extension of credit and why we do need a sunset.
Senator Schiffer.
Point of order. You can't address the same subject twice in one day. If you allow us to vote on this amendment, then you can't say, wait a minute, go back to rules on the same amendment. Okay. That's twice in one day. My suggestion, Mr. Chairman, is if you're in doubt, you can make the decision, or you always have the authority to ask the Rules Committee to convene and resolve whether the request is in order or not. And then we deal with it, with the amendment, to get back up on the floor. Otherwise, we'll really be screwed up. We'll be going twice to the same issue, which is the amendment, in one day.
Okay. So as I understand it, then we can convene the Rules Committee right now.
Well, you can, Mr. Chairman, you have to call for it, or you can make the decision, and I can help you with that if you want.
Okay. At this point, we would convene the Rules Committee.
Okay.
Oh, stand at ease. Yeah. At this point, with the Senate will stand at ease, and we will convene the Rules Committee here to the front.
President's office.
President's office.
I don't know. You want me to vote for...
Stand at ease while the Rules Committee is in the President's office.
That's what I'm doing.
Bruce.
The Rules Committee.
Senate will come to order. The Rules Committee has found that it is constitutional. So we'll proceed now. If there's any further discussion, we still have an amendment to address. Senator Case.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll pick up where I was so rudely interrupted.
Mr. Chairman, no, of course not. That was very relevant. But the point I would make is the issue of the sunset and the issue of whether we are extending the credit of the state of Wyoming is not just wrapped up into the interest rate. We do need to protect the permanent mineral funds, and I urge you to resist the sunset. I also hope you will vote against this bill, but resist removing the sunset. Because the two ways you can extend credit is to give a subsidized interest rate to a good credit, or you can give a rate that looks like it's the same as everybody else's rate, but it's to bad credit. And that's essentially what we did with the Amendment 4 money. And we kind of did both with Amendment 4, and that's the only thing authorized in the Constitution. So I think it's relevant to the sunset, and it's relevant to the bill.
Senator Rebound.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And when this amendment was brought to the committee, I will share with this body that it was not a unanimous vote. It was a 3-2 decision, and a couple of us voted no, I being one of them. So I did not like the fact that we were changing it. So I would speak in opposition to this amendment. I, for all the reasons that have been discussed here, I think it's something that we should defeat.
Senator Coe?
I voted for the amendment, and I urge the body to go ahead and extend the sunset.
Further discussion on the amendment? Question on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment 1 to House Bill 24, please say aye. Those opposed?
No.
The amendment has failed. Back on the bill. Question on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate File 24 pass, say aye. Those opposed? No? Division. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Senate File 24 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration. Oh, Senate Majority Floor Leader.
Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Senate President Anderson.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. Senate File 36, do pass amended. Senate File 71, do pass amended. Senate File 24, do pass. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Senator Dockstader. You've all heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion is carried. The report has been adopted. Do we have any reports from standing committees?
January the 18th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 97, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Emmerich, Hines, and Perkins. No, Senator Case, Senator Hines, Chairman. January the 18th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 3, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. January the 18th, 2011, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporation Elections and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 14, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, and Scott. Noes, Senator Johnson and Martin. Senator Case, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow, January 19th.
Are there any announcements? Senator Guy?
Number 5 will meet in about 10 minutes up in S-15. The Joint Ag Committee and Public Land Resource Committee will look at Senate File 9, Economic Analysis, Senate File 58, Landowner's Rights, Wind Energy Development, Senate File 10, Protection of Livestock Animals, Senate File 55, Subdivision, Perimeter, Partition Fencing, and Senate File 64, Wyoming Livestock Identification Traceability Program, and Senate File 100, Cruelty to Animals. This might be the last time I have to read this.
Thank you, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., note the normal time, the normal place, the committee room, Senate File 84, Hospital Service Collection Rates, Senate File 59, Spice Drugs, and then Senate File 50, Medicaid Option Studies, Senate File 102, Medicaid Cost Study. Those two are joint committee bills that are related, and we're going to hear them together and hear both of them before we vote on either one.
Senator Coe.
Hey, Mr. President, your committee number 4, just a reminder, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the Hurstler Building, 1699, to take up the recalibration accountability bill. Senate File 70.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet at 3:30 to discuss school facilities and then take up the Department of Ed. Please note that's a change from our original 4 o'clock schedule, but it'll be at 3:30.
Other announcements, Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow 15 minutes after the noon recess up in S-18 to discuss Senate Joint Resolution 6, Resolution, Environmental Protection Agency Regulations.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet Wednesday, January the 19th at 7 a.m. in the Hurstler Building, room B-63. Continue our workup of the healthcare of SJ-2, Healthcare Freedom SJ-3, Healthcare Freedom 2. Upon completion of that, we'll begin the hearing on SJ-5, Defense of Marriage Constitutional Amendment. If time permits, which is probably unlikely, but nevertheless, if time permits, we'll proceed with Senate File 17, Probation and Parole Amendments, and Senate File 67, Guardianship and Wards Sealed Records.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, will meet Wednesday, January 19th, 10 minutes after adjournment up in S-14, to take up Senate File 72, Fair Practices of Equipment Act Amendments, and Senate File 112, National Guard Billeted Soldiers Fund.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor for a moment?
You may.
Members of the Senate, just to give you a heads up of where we're going, particularly with regards to general file, we've got about 8 or 9 bills. I'm cutting this off a little bit early the last few days to accommodate Appropriations Committee. My understanding with Appropriations is that They've got another day of hearings. They'll do markup probably on Thursday. And then we also had, of course, today, we have education that has a information seminar up in 302 on recalc. So you can expect as we begin moving now that we'll be working a little bit longer on general filing them, and as more and more bills come out, we'll probably be working a little bit longer. But given the state of affairs as they are right now, we're in pretty good shape. There isn't a backlog really on general file to speak of. There'll probably be a few more bills up tomorrow, but that'll give you a heads up as we start moving into more of the meat of this session. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements? Seeing none, you've heard the motion. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, January 19th. Senate is adjourned.